Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
So talk to us about frost cracks in trees.
Well, we're coming into that time of year. We've had a lot of cold weather.
We have.
But so far, I have not heard any of the cracks, kind of that rifle shot, just the way a lot of people describe it, a frost crack happening. It's reminded me that, okay, well, we're getting on towards the time of year when I think of that as being associating that with cold, really cold temps. And in part, that's because I think the reason it's more seasonal than just the winter is that you need a stronger temperature differential. You could have it in January, but it's not our typical kind of January setup, where you have these deeply cold nights and then a warmer day, you know, where you're maybe even approaching, or if you're a tree right in the direct sun in some way, shape or form, getting above freezing because you're baking in that, say, February sun or March sun. Could happen, but not as likely early in the winter months as it will be now and coming on. So what's going on, though, is pretty interesting, I think. Partly, I think it's interesting because whenever I think about it, it reminds me of how I went for many years thinking I had been told what the scoop was on frost cracks, only to come to realize sometime later that, oh, I didn't really know the whole story. When I first moved here, and I had had those experiences elsewhere in the northern part of the state, but my first information was from people here when I moved here many years ago. And they're, oh, well, you know, it's south-facing side of the tree. It gets warmed up in the sun during the day. And then, boom, you know, it's a clear night following and the temperature drops. And so it's this differential in the temperature. And as things freeze on the outside, they're not freezing so fast on the inside, below the surface, the bark and the wood closest to the surface. And so you get this differential, and the shrinking is what pulls it apart and makes this crack. Because as the cells freeze, they're contracting and they're pulling away from each other. Meanwhile, the wood underneath is still warmer and it's still out there and expanded. So you get this weird differential going on. You know, and okay, I thought, oh yeah, well, that makes sense. You know, it's physics. And it's true. That's part of what's going on. But what I learned later was that, well, why then don't all trees of the same species that are facing the sun, why don't they all have these cracks? Something doesn't seem quite right here. There's some folks out in New Hampshire, and they went to the trouble of examining frost cracks. And on all different kinds of trees, different kinds of situations. So in the forest, plantations, people's yards. And of course, especially if trees are planted for ornamental reasons, you know, or in people's yards, frost cracks can be really noticeable to people and they get really concerned, even though they don't necessarily automatically mean imminent death. And so they looked at all these different settings. And what they found was that they could trace every one of the frost cracks in trees that they examined, and many tens, if not hundreds of trees, to some kind of initial injury. And it could especially happen when trees are younger trees. A small injury could be a little rodent chew in the bark that exposes the wood underneath. The bark is still thin on most trees when they're small. Eventually, some trees get heavier bark that then make an injury that actually exposes wood below the bark much less likely. You know, when trees are young, and some trees for a lot of their lives have pretty thin bark. So it could be that, rodent chew, logging, there's been some kind of management activity, or you've been pruning, maybe you've been pruning your tree. Injuries can come from all sorts of sources. But that those little injuries, small as they might be, create an opening through the bark to the wood underneath, they allow that sapwood to dry out. And that means it pulls apart. The cells pull away from each other and they form little cracks, little fractures, which we wouldn't even notice. And really, the tree isn't radically impacted, obviously, by them at that point. But because they have those little gaps there, and you have this drying and an opening that allows agents of decay of different kinds to go in, and often the tree can manage those just fine. But what it allows is moisture to get into that same wood that otherwise would be dry. Those agents get in there, that allows the wood to get wet. That wound stays open, then that allows that wood in there those cells to get wet. And over time, those gaps get wider and more wood gets exposed. So then when you have these daytime, nighttime temperature fluctuations where it's warm, so those wood cells absorb moisture, but then it gets really cold, they suddenly are being frozen, and that is creating this widening of the crack. So water gets in there, and when the water is freezing up, the water's expanding and pushing apart. And it's that force of that pushing apart that creates that big explosive sound when it gets to a size where it's affecting a big enough area on the tree. And those forces are more powerful than we really can easily grasp ourselves because we don't experience it directly. But if you think about how water getting between in these just fine little cracks in the bedrock and can push that off, the power of just this thin film of water actually pushes the minerals in the mineral crystals of the rock apart and breaks them apart. Well, the same thing is going on in the tree wood. That powerful force, when it's happening, is exploding, basically. So the upshot of that work in New Hampshire was that the freezing and thawing, that temperature differential, is part of the process. As one researcher put it, it doesn't load the gun, it pulls the trigger. So when we hear those rifle shots at night, we're hearing something that's probably been building up for a long time in that particular individual tree that started with a wound of some kind and became a big deal when we hear it. And they can happen repeatedly in that same location. You'll see those frost cracks are real obvious. They're very vertically oriented, and they often have kind of a callus along the edge where the tree has tried to heal that over. And like I said, usually they don't create mortality in the individual tree. So the tree just moves along with that scar. But because it's a weak spot and those same conditions can still develop there, they can break apart in that same place or extend that same crack over
further and further. So the same tree can have frost cracks night after night.
Yeah, or maybe not night after night in the quick succession, but over a given year. So maybe in a given year, I don't know how many times, but during a winter it might crack, but they could happen more than once.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods, and thank you so much for talking to us about frost cracks in trees.
You're welcome.